Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Mark chapter 1. Today we talked about the prophecy that Mark quotes for us in Isaiah yesterday. Today we're going to look at verses 4 through 8, which deals more with the baptism of, the John the Baptist. We'll start over, actually. I saw this. I was looking at his baptism. Take two. Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Mark chapter 1, discussing this John the Baptist and his introduction into the book, how he makes makes ready the way for Jesus coming into the scene here. And so today we're going to look at verses 4 through 8, which really tell us more about John the Baptist himself and what he looks like and what he's doing and what his mission here is for us today. John appeared in the wilderness. There's a lot of comparisons that we can make between John the Baptist and Elijah, which is what that prophecy kind of spoke to that we talked about yesterday. But John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's what he's going about and doing here.
Yeah, and this idea of his, trying to set the way for this John the Baptist. If you would, Garrett, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8. John is in the wilderness. He's preaching, and what he's preaching, number one, is baptism. Number two, he's preaching repentance. Mm-hmm. And number three, he's preaching for the forgiveness of sin. This word is not really... it's not because your sins have been forgiven. It's kind of like in Acts chapter 2. It means that you're baptized and your repentance is what gives you the forgiveness of sins. That's the gospel message that John is preaching. But read for us 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8, please.
Verse 8 says, "They answered him, 'He was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.'"
Okay, so this is the comparison I mentioned last time about John and Elijah. You might write down Mark chapter 6, 14 through 15, and Mark chapter 8, 27 through 28. And down in verse 6, that's what it says about him, is that John, that's why he was like Elijah. He's clothed in camel's hair. He's got a leather belt around his waist. He's eating locusts and wild honey. And verse 5 in between that says that all of Judea was coming out to him. And notice what they were doing. Number one, being baptized. Number two, they were confessing. And what they were confessing was, number three, their sins. So he's preaching a message, and they're responding to that message in an appropriate way.
Yeah, there's already a following that John has. That's part of his mission, but there's already this following that John has. And once Jesus comes along, he essentially just takes that whole following and he says, okay, this is the guy that you really want to follow. He's making that way ready so that Jesus already has an audience whenever he begins his ministry and he begins teaching and preaching as well.
Yep. So he says that after, while he's preaching, he says, after me, there's going to come one that's mightier than me. I'm not even worthy to unstrap his sandals, because he wants them to understand I'm not the Messiah. John really points this out in his gospel even more so, that that he's saying it's not me, not him. He's not the Messiah, but he was preparing the way for the Messiah. Well, John the Baptist is wanting people to understand that, and that's why he is saying that. He says, I baptize you Well, the you would be verse 5, all the country of Judea that was going out to him. I'm baptizing you with water in the Jordan River from verse 5. But the one that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this idea is kind of like in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that, you know, when they asked on the first day of Pentecost, you know, what must we do? He said to repent and be baptized so that you can have the remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the idea. So a couple of Old Testament passages real quick. If you'll jump back to Isaiah, Garrett, we'll look at a couple of these that kind of goes along with this idea. In Isaiah chapter 40, we were there yesterday earlier in that chapter, but I want you to read for us Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13 and understand a little bit about the Spirit of God here.
Verse 13 says, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has informed him?"
Say, he is the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord. No one has told him what to do. And then if you jump over to chapter 42 of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, he's going to talk about the Spirit as well.
He says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations."
Okay, and that's what's going to happen when Jesus is baptized. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. Turn over one more place in Isaiah to chapter 52 and read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 52, verses 6 and 7 is all about this preaching the gospel, or preaching this good news.
He says, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns."
Okay, so preaching the good news about peace and God reigning. Well, that's going to be important here in Mark chapter 1, you know. So John is preaching, Jesus is going to preach, and it's all about God. It's the gospel of God and his reign. And the Spirit of God is what is revealing that. The Spirit of God is going to come upon Jesus, and he, the Messiah, is going to be the anointed king to rule over his kingdom. So again, not really as much of a Jewish prophecy kind of pointing in Mark, but I think these are important ideas to point out, that what's going on is exactly what the Old Testament said would happen when the Messiah came.
Yeah, and it's still stuff that connects, even, you know, this is, if you have that background information or not, either way, it's going to add up, and it's going to make sure that it's one continuous message. And just between John and Jesus, this is a continuous message that they're the people are receiving, and that's obviously going to get even more as we go on down to Jesus and his message that he's going to be preaching later on in this chapter.
Yeah, so he's told us that one is coming. And then now he's going to tell us in the next section that we'll study tomorrow who that one is, that it is Jesus, and that's going to be proven by his baptism.
Yeah. We appreciate you and your dedication to this podcast and your dedication to God's Word and wanting to dive into it deeper. We will start talking about Jesus, his baptism, his temptations, and the beginning of his ministry tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.